sure this morning that there's two or three of you in here that'd like to preach, but I'm going to, so you just sit down and let me preach a little while. We'll give you a chance after a while, maybe, but man, how good it is to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'll tell you what, the choir this morning was rocking. Is that Baptist? Is that okay? The choir was wonderful this morning. No, the choir was rocking this morning. They acted like they knew what they were singing about. Man, I'm thankful for Christ that gave his life on Calvary for me, and it was a great thing what he did for us. I think sometimes we take it for granted and we downplay it a little bit, but man, how unworthy I was for Christ to come and give his life for me, and it was a great thing that he come and give his life for me. And then Hannah to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Man, I'm telling you what, he is absolutely worthy of our honor and our glory and our praise this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5, we'll be taking our reading from this morning. Just thankful to be in the house of the Lord, thankful for the Holy Spirit that's been with us this morning. I don't ever want to take his presence for granted. I do ask as we try to preach this morning that God will just, that you'll pray for me, that God will clear my mind, that God will help me to preach what he's laid upon my heart, that I can get it out in the way that he has given it to me. So I do ask you just to be much in prayer for that. We'll be turning to a few other places this morning, and Shannon should have those scriptures, so maybe that'll go smoothly for us. And again, I just ask you to pray. Open your hearts, open your minds, let God speak to you. Let's take the holds off. Let's make this a no-holds-barred kind of thing right here. Let's just open up our hearts and glorify God. And yes, I understand. I know I say this a lot. You don't have to be jumping pews to glorify God, but don't hold back either. If God just opens your heart and fills you up, I want to tell you this morning, let's just praise him and give him glory. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do this morning. God, I want to just thank you for this opportunity that we have to be in your presence. God, I know that I could be in your presence in my car or in my house or out in nature. I know all those things are possible, but how sweet it is to be in your sanctuary with your people, with my family this morning, and to experience the presence of God. I want to thank you for being here with us this morning. God, I want to glorify you and honor you and worship you because it was a great thing what you did for me there on Calvary. God, I just want to recognize you and your holiness. God, as we try to preach this morning, God, I pray that you'll clear my mind. God, I pray that you'll just get me and my weaknesses out of the way. Let your word speak to our hearts. And God, may we live. God, I pray for this one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, we're going to read one verse here. And to Ephesians chapter number 5, I do ask you again just to be much in prayer for us as we try to get to the thought that God has given us. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now verse 25, when it begins and it says, "Husbands," first of all, I almost feel like we're living in a day and a time when I need to define what a husband is, but I'm going to take it for granted that you know this morning, and we're going to bypass that. But in Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church." And then I want you to look at the last part of it there where it says, "and gave himself for it." It's amazing. It's almost like the choir was listening in to my study this week when I began to study this verse of Scripture. Actually, I think Lynn mentioned this verse of Scripture in Sunday school several weeks back, and I made a little note in my notebook, and I've been thinking about this verse of Scripture for several weeks. And so as we began to study this, it's almost like the choir was listening in because they began to sing how good it was that Christ gave his life for us on Calvary. Scotty sung the song, "On a Hill Called Calvary. Jesus, my Lord, gave his life for me." So it's amazing as we look how Christ loved the church. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, husbands, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be a hero this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity to be bold. And man, I'm going to tell you what, you're fixing to make your wife feel like a queen or a princess or whatever you want her to be. But if you're here this morning and you're a husband and you say, "Preacher, I love my wife so much that I would be willing to lay my life down for," would you just stand up? I'm not setting you up. I promise. I'm not setting you up. Now, ladies, look around all these men. That says, "I love my wife so much that I would be willing to lay down my life for her." Thank you, men. You can sit down. I was already standing up, honey. I'm going to keep standing up. Man, can I just say real quick how good it is to have my wife with me in church? Man, I'm thankful for what God's done in her life. So as we look at this verse of Scripture, the Bible says, even as Christ loved the church and was willing to give himself, to make that ultimate love sacrifice, and we know that Jesus gave that ultimate love sacrifice there on Calvary. We know that he loved us so much that he was willing to give his life. And some of you men this morning have declared, I love my wife so much that I would be willing to make that ultimate love sacrifice. If somebody was going to hurt my wife, I'd put myself between her and them. I'm willing to lay my life down for her. And we're going to stand this morning and we're going to say that I'm willing to make that ultimate love sacrifice. But I'm going to pick on us for just one moment here. How many of us sometimes we're not even willing to lay down our phone for our wife? Woo! I know, that's not the message this morning. That's not where we're going. But God hit me with that. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I was in a really bad mood yesterday and I was really ugly to my wife. And I didn't bless her out or nothing that I can really remember of. Don't talk to her after service. She's going to be in busy. She's going to be really busy. But I was really ugly to my wife yesterday. And I have to, I had this message on my heart. This is not an apology yet. I'll talk to you about that after a while. But I had to struggle with this. I said, now I'm going to get up there and preach about husbands loving your wife. And my wife's going to sit back there and go, got his holy britches on. Glad he put them on. So, but as we look at this and we say, I'm willing to lay my life down for my wife, and we think that that is a something that we can look and we say, I could easily say that because I love my wife so much. But you see, there's some other things that's going on here in Ephesians chapter number 5. It says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church. Look, and then that's just one thing that it says, and gave himself for it. So as we look at this parallel that Jesus, that God has given us in his word of how that Christ loved the church and how we as husbands are supposed to love our wives, I want us to look at the other side of this. Instead of looking at how we as husbands are supposed to love our wives, I want us to look at how Christ loved the church. I want us to look this morning and I want us to see how each and every one of us, we are so loved by Jesus Christ this morning. I told some of the men that were standing out here in the hallway this morning, I told them, I said, I was going to preach on sin, but since all of you guys are standing out here, I'm going to preach on the love of Christ this morning. So next Sunday when they're all in here, I'll preach on sin. Maybe they'll get it straightened out. But as we're looking this morning, I want us to look at the love of Christ that he had for the church. Yeah, I know we're going to compare it. We're going to draw a little parallel of how we as husbands are supposed to love our wives. But I want us to look at how Christ loved the church. Ephesians chapter number 1, Shannon will have it for us, verse number 3 and verse number 4. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I want you to notice what verse number 4 says here. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him, what's that say? Before the foundation of the world. As we look at the relationship that Christ is comparing between a husband and a wife and the love that Christ had for the church, you know, each and every one of us, I want you to know this morning that you were chosen by God, that you were chosen to be loved by Christ before you ever existed, that God said here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 that he says that you were chosen before the foundation of the world. As we look at the relationship and the parallel between a husband and a wife, why did you choose your wife? Some of you, it may have been a physical attraction. Some of it may have been you found someone that could emotionally support you. Some may have seen the potential of a good helpmeet. Some of us, it may have just been that, hey, she cooked for us one time and that was all that it took. All that and more. Amen. There was something that your wife had to offer to a relationship between you and her. There was something that she brought to the table. And if you're living in the same boat that I am in, my wife brings a lot more to the table than I do. Now we're getting to that apology stuff. I'm going to butter it up real good this morning. So as we get into this and we look at the relationship between a husband and a wife, you chose your wife for a purpose. You chose her for a reason. You thought she would be a good mother. You thought she would be a good helpmeet, a good emotional support. You may have thought that she was hotter than fire and you had that physical attraction to her. It may have been any or all of those reasons. But there was something that she brought to the table. But I want you to know that before the foundations of the world, when Christ was choosing us, when Christ was choosing us, that he was going to love us so much that he would pay that ultimate sacrifice. As he looked at me and as he looked at you this morning, I had nothing to offer. There was nothing that I brought to the table. And you say, well, what do you mean? You're standing there preaching the word of God this morning. Without God, I can do nothing. Without him giving me strength, without him giving me the ability. So he's doing it this morning. I had absolutely nothing that I brought to the table. But Christ chose me before the foundation of the world. Why he chose somebody like me, why he chose to love me, why he chose to pay that ultimate sacrifice for me, I have no idea in the world, but I'm so thankful that he chose me before the foundation of the world. I want you to know that I need my wife. Man, I was so scared as she went into surgery. And man, that was such a relief as they come and told me that she was out of surgery and that everything was going to be okay, because I was sitting there thinking, what would I do without her? I want you to know that Christ could make it without me. God could make it without me. If I quit tomorrow, if something happens to me tomorrow, God can make it without me. But I absolutely cannot make it without him. I'm so thankful that he chose me even before the foundation of the world. Before I ever existed, Christ chose me. Let's look at 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 19. Very, very simple verse of scripture in God's word. We love him because he first loved us. His love for me had absolutely no prerequisite. There was nothing that I had to do in order for him to love me. You know, when we show love to our spouses, when we show love to our wives, when we tell our wives that we love them, it's really nice when we get that return back. And most of us probably, as we begin to date our girlfriends at that point in time, as we begin dating, we look for, do they love us? Do they like us? I'm going to tell a story that Autumn just absolutely loves. Autumn, and most of y'all have heard this story, but there might be somebody that here that hasn't, and I really don't want you to miss this. This is great. Amen, honey. You hate this story. Autumn and I were dating. We hadn't been dating. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The first time that we went out, I knew she was the one. I told you I was going to lay it on thick. I knew she was the one. We watched 8 Seconds that night, which is a bull riding movie, because I was a cowboy at that point in time in my life. We watched 8 Seconds, and man, she kissed me that night, and I was struck right then. I mean, I melted until she kissed me in front of her daddy, and then I about ran away in fear. But as we were dating, and man, it didn't take just a few weeks, I knew she was the one. And we went to North Surrey High School together, and I would walk her to her classes, and I was late for almost every class. I had to sprint to my classes, because when the minute bell rung, I took off. And I remember one day I had walked her to gym class. I can still take you to the spot at North Surrey High School. Standing right outside the doors of the gym class on the left side. I'll take you there sometime. And we were standing there, and I ain't going to tell you whether I was holding her hands or whether I may have kissed her or not. That public display of affection stuff. We won't get into all that. But we were standing there, and when the minute bell rung, I looked at her and I said, I love you. I mean, I had been building up for that. I had been wanting to tell her that. And I looked at her and I said, I love you. And she looked at me and she said, I like you too. I was tardy for class that day. I walked and kicked rocks all the way to class. Yeah, I had to fight for her. But as she looked at me and she said, I like you too. I was like, oh, that's not what I was hoping for. That's not what I was wanting. But I want you to look, even as she grew into loving me, and man, I don't know how she even held it off as long as she did, but now that she loves me and the way that she does, I'm so thankful that I get a return love back from my wife. I'm so thankful that when I look at her and I say, I love you, that she says, I love you too. But can I let us know this morning, and can I remind us that before we ever loved God, that he loved us? The Bible tells us we love him because he first loved us, as he was choosing us at the foundations of the world, as he was choosing us before this world was ever created. He loved us at that very minute. He loved me before I ever loved him, before I ever became a preacher, before I ever became a Christian, before I ever tried to live right or do right or anything else, God loved me way before all of that. He told me that He loved me before the foundations of the world. It is so nice when somebody returns that love to us. But I want to tell you this morning, even if you haven't returned love unto God, even if you hadn't come to the place in your life where you say, I love God, that I love Christ, that I thank Him for what He did for me on Calvary, even if you haven't come to that place, I want to tell you sitting right here this morning that God loves you and that Jesus Christ loves you and He gave His life for you. Amen. God loves you this morning. He chose you. He loved you before you loved Him. If our wives today told us that they no longer loved us, that they had fallen out of love with us, our feelings for them would change. Our feelings for them might would be shut down. But you know what? The way that Christ loves the church, even when we stumble and even when we fall and even when it feels like we're falling out of love with God, His love for us never changes. His love for us remains the same. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 8, very familiar scripture this morning. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what? When I met my wife, she fit a mindset of what I was looking for. First, yes, I did think she was smoking hot. Then as I got to know her, and she had a personality that I absolutely loved. And, you know, just so y'all know that this is okay, I still think my wife is smoking hot. That's the way it should be, as even as we grow old together. The Bible says that He loved us while we were yet sinners. But, you know, I don't remember any time while we were dating that when I went to pick up my wife, at that time she wasn't my wife, but when I went to pick up Autumn, she always smelled good. She bathed once or twice a week anyway. I mean, she was from Pine Ridge. You can't ask too much, you know. she usually had brushed her teeth, and I leaned over to kiss her. It didn't smell too bad. And we had a relationship. She would do things to prepare of how she wanted me to perceive her. She wanted to be pretty. She wanted to try to please my eyes. But I want to tell you that Christ loved us while we were so undesirable. Christ loved us when we were nasty, dirty, stinky, stained with sin, when we were not trying to follow Him, when we were not looking unto Him, and in most cases He loved us while we were running away from Him just as hard as we could go. And you say, well, preacher, how in the world can... let's look at you, preacher. Since you said that you were saved at the age of 7... and you didn't have all of that nasty, dirty mess in your life at that point in time, can I tell you this morning, and can we look and realize that when Jesus was hanging there on the cross, and the Bible says that God had to turn His back on Him, that God had to look away, and it was because of the dirty, the sinful stain that was on our Savior as He hung there on that cross, that my little bitty sin was just as ugly to Him as the biggest sin that you can think of this morning. That your little bitty sin was just as big as the worst thing that you can think of this morning. So even when we were nasty, dirty, stinky, and stained with sin, Christ loved us so much. He chose you in that condition. He chose you when you were undesirable. He chose you before you ever turned to look at Him whatsoever. I guarantee you that my life and your life at times in our lives has not fit the mindset that God looks at and says, that's my bride. I guarantee you that my life sometimes stinks unto God. That sometimes my sin, it stinks unto God. But He loved me so much. He said He commendeth His love toward me, that while I was still a sinner, that Christ died for me. I'm glad that God loved me while I was a sinner. It wasn't that I had to clean up. It wasn't that I had to live right and do right or give money to the church or be baptized or be a member of any kind of organization. He just said, I'm going to love you because you're mine. I'm going to love you because I created you. And one of these days, maybe you'll return that love. But He commended His love toward me that while I was still a sinner, that He died for me. I'm going to tell you, if I'd have went to pick up Autumn and she stunk, I'm going to tell you, if I'd have went and she absolutely didn't care what she looked like every time that we was together, I probably would have moved on pretty quick. I would have found someone else. I wouldn't even had that time to get to know her like that. But I'm glad that God, He moved right up to me when I stink. God, He moved right up to me at the age of 7 when sin stunk in my life, when I was stained with sin. And He says, Josh, I love you. Josh, I love you. Come on, let me clean you up. Man, what a God we serve this morning. See, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But you got to look at the position. You got to look at where the church was when Christ gave himself for it. Here this morning, we've all got our holy breeches on. We've got our ties on. We got our dresses on or whatever it is that you've cleaned up and come to church. But I want to tell you that God loves you when you ain't all cleaned up. That God loves you when we've messed up. That God loves you before that you ever chose him. That God committed his love towards you. And that while you was yet a sinner, that Christ died for you. 1 John chapter number 2, I'm almost done. 1 John chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, or he's the substitute, the stand-in for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 1 and 9. Let's read it also while we're here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, as we look at Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 25, we all thought that we were doing pretty good because the Bible says it there that husbands love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we were willing to stand and say, yes, I would give my life for my wife. We were willing to stand and say that, and we say, well, I love my wife like Christ loved the church. But I think as we look a little deeper at this, I don't love my wife like Christ loved the church. I think that's a love that is so far out there, and so it's even hard to understand that kind of love, that my love for my wife needs to grow. But as you look at the love that Christ had for the church, I want you to think about this. As we read 1 John chapter number 2, verse 1 and 2, and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, can you see that Christ knew that even after he gave his life for us, even though he rescued us from a life of sin, even though he delivered us from hell, that he knew that there was going to be times in our life that we failed his love. Let's look at the husband and wife relationship for just a moment. How many of us as husbands this morning, if when you had proposed to your wife, when you got down on one knee and you asked your wife to marry you, when I done it, I put a little diamond. I mean, you could barely see it. I was 16 years old and I spent everything I had and it wasn't much, but you could barely see that little diamond down inside of a rose. And I asked my wife, I said, will you marry me? I had to ask her daddy first, but that was scary. But when I asked Autumn and she said, yes, I will marry you. What if she would have said, yes, I will marry you, but let me just tell you, I'm probably going to cheat on you. I will marry you, but I'm probably going to abandon you. I will marry you, but there's probably going to come a time that I embarrass you. I will marry you, but I'm not going to promise that I'll always love you. You know what? I'd probably stuck my ring in my pocket and went back downstairs and said, forget this. I'm done with that. Found somebody else. But as we read 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it is plain to see that God knew and that Christ knew when he extended that love to us that we were going to fail his love. It's plain to see that Christ said, I'm going to love you, but I know that you're going to fall, you're going to come short, you're going to sin. Hey, let's put it in our terms. You're going to cheat on me. You're going to embarrass me. You may abandon me. But he said, I'm going to love you so much anyway that I'm going to give you a way back. 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, I think that love that Christ had for us, it's so great a love that it's hard for me to even comprehend. If my wife had looked at me and said, yes, I love you, I will enter into that relationship, into that union with you, but I'm probably going to cheat on you. I'm probably going to embarrass you. I'm probably going to abandon you. I'd have probably said, save yourself the trouble. I'll go find somebody else. But I'm glad that when God looked at me and he said, I love you so much, I want you to be one of my children. I want to forgive you of your sin. And he knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows how weak I am. He knows what tomorrow holds. He knew that I was going to fall and come short, that I would cheat on him, that I would embarrass him, that I wouldn't always be faithful. But he said, I'm still going to extend that love to you. Man, what love God had for us. When we look at Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. My love for my wife or anybody else cannot compare to the love that Jesus Christ gave for me. Hannah, if you will, come on, get us an invitational hymn. Jennifer, please. This morning, as we look at this, is it not unbelievable how so unworthy we are for Christ's love? How unworthy, how that we do not deserve for Christ to love us, but yet He chose us. Whether we was going to return His love or not, while we were yet sinners, knowing that we was going to fail His love, that Christ gave Himself for us. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. Christ loved the church so much that He gave Himself for it in spite of all of these other things. In spite of all, that I fall and fail and come short. Hey, you guys might live a perfect life. And if you do, I applaud you for it. I believe that we strive to live right and do right. But can I tell you that even when I'm striving, even when I'm trying the very best I can, I fall and I come short. And then let's just get real honest and say sometimes we choose to sin. We choose to do things that we know are not pleasing to God. And still yet, He's extending that love to us. Church, Christ loved the church so much that He gave Himself for it when I don't think anybody else would have. This morning, excuse me, as you stand to your feet with me, I don't know, when I got to the real, got a grasp on this just a little bit, I had to stop just a minute, I had to find somewhere, and I just had to praise Him for the love that He has for me. And then I had to stop back and go, you know what? God, I'm sorry that I'm not doing the way I'm supposed to be doing. I'm sorry that I don't realize the love that You have for me. I trample Your love from time to time. You know, I told you at the beginning of the service that I was really ugly to my wife yesterday. She didn't deserve it. I don't know. Sometimes I just get in that mindset, and it ain't no excuse, but I was. But you know, I was ugly to her, and she don't deserve it, but I want to tell you something. There's times in my life that my life is completely ugly to God, and He sure don't deserve it either. There's times when I don't do what I'm supposed to do. There's times when I do things that I shouldn't do. There's times that my mind is not in a place of praise and worship and glory like it should be. I'm going to open this altar this morning. If there's something in your life that you need to get straightened out with God, there's no better place than right here. Well, preacher, I can right where I'm at. Sure you can, but I want to tell you something. This is a better place. You may just need to say, you know what? I have forgot how good, how wonderful the love of Christ is. I want to come praise Him for it. Well, preacher, I can right where I can. Yes, you can, but right here's a better place. As Hannah sings this morning, if there's anything in your heart that you need to come and talk to God about, come and talk to Him about. Come and use this time to make everything right between you and God. Use this time to worship Him, to honor Him. This altar is open.
In the cross, in the cross.
thank you and we praise you for this day. And God, we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I do just want to thank you for your love that you gave for me when I'm so undeserving of it. God, I pray that you'll help me to walk in a way that returns that love, that points others to the cross of Christ, and that gives you glory. God, I pray for our church, God. Move in a way that only that you can. Make us a place, God, where your spirit dwells, where people can come in and they can receive salvation before it's everlasting too late. God, if there's one here that maybe had something on their heart that they didn't get it taken care of this morning, I pray that you'll give them another opportunity. Most of all, if there's one here that was lost, that didn't choose you today, God, I pray that you'll help them to see the love that you had for them, and God, help them to find somewhere, sometime, and ask you to come into their heart and forgive them of their sins. Thank you for loving me when I'm so unlovable. In Jesus' name, amen.